Good evening, and welcome to another episode.
Not yet.
She interrupted. It was very rude. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of U.S. Paranormal. We're your hosts. I'm Aaron Jones, Lisa Taffy, and Star Jones. Oh, my God.
Aaron.
It's been a long day, Star Lyle.
It's not even Taffy either. Come on now. My E is silent. I did have a maiden name. I will give you that.
That is true.
And darling, I am not Star Jones.
I know. I don't know why I said Star Jones. Maybe it's because I was just looking at her picture in Us Weekly. Star Jones. No one knew we had Star Jones on the show. Now all kinds of weird people are going to start listening in.
I didn't know that I was a lawyer. When did I become that?
Right, I apologize. It's Star Lyle. Not Star Jones.
You don't even know your own friend's name.
I have no idea my own name most of the time. I've been introducing myself as Karen. May I speak to your manager? Okay. So, tonight's show, they put me in charge one time, and I've already ruined it for everybody. Okay. Tonight's show is about Native American folklore, and I think it's going to be a great show. It's going to be more of a history-based show tonight. We're going to talk about some mythology, some urban legends, some correlations between the Native tribes in the Americas. That's Canada, America, and Mexico, South America. This is actually a great topic that we wanted to do after discussing, I think it was Thunderbirds, wasn't it, Lisa, in a previous episode?
Yes, Star, I think, had touched on that in when we did the triangles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and yep. So... I love anthropology topics. I love them. I have a love and body for history and people. So here we go. Let's start with Lisa. What have you found in your research about Native American folklores?
Folklore. Well, so, okay, let me get back over to that.
Or history or mythology or...
There was a couple of things that I was interested by. One was myths. There were some really cool myths. Like, I mean, just random, like, wild shit. Like, 20 different myths I came across. I don't know. Like, I don't know if you've heard of them. Like, Rainbow Crow, Spirit Lodge, First Tears. They're kind of like old wives' tales. But then also, like, how they came across. There was like three different main theories that I ran into, and I'm sure you probably are going to hit on all that. The one that seemed to be the most prominent, or that the scientists that I was coming across were saying, was the case that they came from Asia, or they were like in the Asia area and then came across.
Right, over the ice bridge during the the great ice freeze.
After the ice age. Yeah. Or I shouldn't say after. It melted off, and then, of course, the Europeans started coming over and killing off people, but their diseases and stuff. But, yeah, that seemed to be the main hypothesis, is that their ancestors were a split from the East Asians around 25,000 years ago, and that they just lived isolated for a period of time and then, you know, came sometime during the Ice Age. And then they were saying possibly they were also in the Alaska area, just kind of a matter of active research. And they were also trying to research how they split from there. But they thought it was just one mass migration. And I think you had hit on that previously when we had talked. And they also said whether they took the North Pacific coast or the ice-free corridor between the present-day Siberia and Alaska, or both, is another debate. So there's been, like, some talk about, like, a more of an interior approach also. So mm-hmm. I'm interested to hear your input on whether you think they came across that ice bridge or how you think they arrived, and if you think they came from East, like the East Asia area.
Well, I don't have any opinions, because opinions don't matter. I'm just kidding. No. So I think what most scholars believe is that no matter what, they came over on a great ice shelf, and groupings split off, and that's how we have the what's Siberia now into Alaska, the great transfer from the European peninsula, or the big landmass that connected the ice bridge to the Southern Americas. In my opinion, I think that the majority of them did come through South America, because we know in the migration throughout the historical documentation, and from what we have found with excavation of sites and carbon dating, that large masses of people came in through South America, and they stayed there for a time. And people started branching out, and they started moving north. That's how we got to the point where we are today, where we have Native American tribes in northern Canada and the First Nation people to the Canadians. And these individuals were creating civilization 100 years before civilization was even a concept to Europeans. To what we know is civilizations of Roman Empire, that sort of thing, the Egyptians. And they had huge mass cities, and they had small villages, and they had leaders, and they had huge cultural economic structures, and they would get overpopulated, and they would move on and move on and move on. We see a lot of that in the Hopi, the Pueblo Indians. And the Pueblo Indians, they kind of generate an entire population, in my opinion, because of the correlations of how similar creation stories are, how similar legendary folklore is, how different ceremonies are produced, and how their storylines have been shared throughout time. And that's the Apache, the Navajo, the Hopi, and the Pueblo. All, I think, in my opinion, and if you're an anthropologist out there, or you have an opinion of your own, whether you are or not, and you think that they have a separation, please write us, let us know, and I love to do some more research. But they all lived in this ideal of finding the center place. So the Pueblo Hopi creationist story is that they all lived underground, and at some point they climbed a great bridge and came above ground. Kind of that ice shelf mentality, if you think. And when
now,
they came
when
up
the
from
age,
this.
What time period?
We're looking at 25,000.
No, that can't be right. 25,000 years ago?
We're looking at
25,000
years.
Like the tools. Like there was some variation in the tools that they were finding, like people versus tools. Like the tools were actually dating back longer than the people they were finding, which I found kind of interesting.
That is interesting. Do you think it may be aliens?
Could possibly be. You never
were the
know.
Aliens mining for gold?
There you go.
There was a
all
ton of it in South America. Right. The original gold rush. But
yes.
So as I was saying, that these Native American groups, they all had the same creation story. This Maasa was this great son, and I told the people, this is your gift. You have to take care of it. The earth is your gift. And in order to find home, you have to find this center place. And so some people left and went counterclockwise around the earth. Some people went clockwise around the earth to try to find this center place. But they all have the same ideal of these directions. There's not just northeast, southwest. There's also up and down. So, and a lot of their homes and their gathering places were these big circles that you would climb out of, and it would be underground. So it represented this whole up-down northeast southwest thing. It was a perfect center. It's quite interesting. But you see that in a lot of correlated tribes, that center place, find a center place. Same with a lot of their mythology. Star, when we did the Triangles show, you brought up Thunderbirds, right?
I think so. I can't remember.
Right, and I know Lisa asked if the Cree, because my family comes from the Cree tribes. We come from First Nation. We're Saskatchewan Cree. And I know Lisa had asked if we had a Thunderbird, right?
I think that was Star.
You know
it
what?
Matter.
I did
bring
up the Thunderbird.
There.
I do remember that.
Well, so, and I told you I couldn't remember if we did, and that's my apologies. But I always hold to my word, and I went back and I looked, and I found that we do have a Thunderbird. We have two names for our Thunderbird in the Cree culture. It's the Piyesul, which is the Thunderbird, or we call it the Onisky, which is thunder. So that's Onisky. So.
Did you know that what a Thunderbird means, like the unlimited happiness? Like, it's neat how
ours is a sign of renewal.
Like when they
well,
do their
would that
drawing,
be kind of like the phoenix then, a sign of renewal because the phoenix rises from the ashes?
Maybe. I mean, we do not have a phoenix in the Cree culture that I am aware of. The Thunderbird, the reason why we hear the thunder is because it's massive wings clapping in the air, and that's what we hear as thunder. But it's usually correlated with rain or thunderstorms. So, and with thunder comes new birth. It comes rain, comes new crops, it comes new animals. That's the other thing. The majority of the folklore, they're all so connected in their ideals of animals and creation, and they have more tribes than not have this ideal of a great spirit and how it's connected with all of creation. The animals are connected to the people, and the people are connected to the plants and so forth and so on. And they have this idealization that there is a sky world as well as a water world, that there is a spiritual world under the water, there's a spiritual world in the sky. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been studying some of the Shawnee, and I'm looking at what they call the Great Spirit, would be, and I know I'm going to butcher it, but here we go. It's Mishemaneto, and it's a divine spirit that has no form or human attributes,
right,
including gender,
not. And
which
majority
sounds
of them
a lot
have
like
no human attributes.
Right, but but they also have a cyclone person or a Shawnee storm spirit. So when you were talking about your
or,
storm,
or
a
water spirit of kind of yeah.
Uh-huh. But the cyclone person is male, and it's similar to the other Shawnee wind spirits. So you've got the whirlwinds and the wind that blows so that's the cyclone person for the Shawnee. And I was studying this, and I didn't realize because, Tennessee, excuse me, eastern Tennessee in particular, there with the Smoky Mountains and such, you have the Cherokee. The Shawnee was in middle Tennessee, and I was in middle to eastern Tennessee there. So that would have been the Shawnee around where I was born and raised and my stomping grounds and all you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that all of these cultures, they each have, in their structure, they each have a role, if you will. So there is the great spirit role. That's that creator role or the greatest of all things. It would be God, right? For the Christians, it would be God. For the Jews, it would be Adonai. For the Buddhists, it would be the Buddha or the Great Awakening. Every one of those native tribes have some kind of great spirit. They also have this thing that's a trickster, right? That plays jokes, or that's that humorous, not so much evil, but it's a trickster. It kind of brings that humor into cultural teachings for their children. But for example, we have this. Our great spirit is called Kise Monita. That's our great spirit. Our trickster, our trickster does all kinds of things. It jumps boats, it molds food, it does all kinds of things. And we call the trickster itself the Wesa Kichak. And that just means trickster. It just means the funny one. We have a bad spirit. All of these cultures have a bad spirit, something to balance between the good and the bad. Ours is called the Witika, and it's just the bad spirit, or the Wendigo in other cultural Indian tribes. It's known as the Wendigo, and we call ours the Witika. See, it's very similar, but the way they pronounce it is different. Mm-hmm. Now, we only know these things because of speech, because of word of mouth. A lot of these tribes did not have a written language. Their only way of communication was through verbal language, through storytelling. And then you had some tribes, and the Cree is very strong in this, that used forms of sign language to communicate. So it's probably the most accurate form of ancient or I don't want to say ancient, but I'll say of origin-based knowledge because of word of mouth. And we got these written documents were done by all these Anglicans, all these Christians coming in, and these early anthropologists learning and wanting to know the cultures, writing these things down after being told by the elders of these tribes. That's how they were written. Before that, it was just word of mouth, which is how they had evolved and changed from language and cultural tribal base. It's how each different ceremony evolved and became its own based off of the tribe that they're in. But they all have the same similar foundation, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it does. It does. Well, let me tell you what I just was looking at. In the Shawnee, you were talking about your little tricksters. In the Shawnee, it's a human trickster figure, and they call it Crazy Jack or Chiquitha or Little Jack.
And
they're notable for foolishness
the
and laziness.
Tribes, and the Western tribes, they call it a Whiskey Jack. Isn't that crazy how it's similar?
Yeah, it is. It's just amazing. But see, you know, it all, I have theories about everything, and I think it all goes back to how many thousands of years ago, and this has been passed down and people spread out. You know that. I mean, I was born and raised in Tennessee, and here I am out in Nebraska and Wyoming now. And pretty soon we'll be in Colorado. and I have brought my traditions with me and passed them on to my children who live out here, and that's how things get passed on, and I believe
they're very similar to the area around you, but they're just done a little differently.
Yes
right. And I mean, to include the superstitions and the why things happen the way they happen. You know, a majority of tribes believe that there was a great flood. Did you know that?
Uh-huh. A great flood? No, I didn't. Well,
a great
I had
flood.
Heard that. Huh.
A great flood. You know, the Christians have the belief in the great flood, right?
Yes.
that God,
so
God in his vengeful way, the people turned from him, and he went to Moses, or not Moses, I apologize. Apparently
Noah.
I'm just not on top of it today. He went to Noah.
Noah.
I don't know why I'm not on top of it today. But I called you Star Jones. It's okay. It's okay.
That's okay. I kind of like her, so that's good. That's all right. I'll take it.
So the Christians have this belief. If you don't know the belief is that God, in his vengeful way, the people turned their back to him, and he was angry, and so he afforded Noah the ability to build an ark and put two by two animals of all kinds and creepy crawlies and the slithering animals and all this onto this boat. And then he flooded the world. And for 40 days and 40 nights, the world was underwater. And then the water receded and the land came back and everybody was happy. And Noah repopulated the earth with his 1,200 kids and his 5 million animals.
And now I may be wrong, and if there's anybody out there that knows Chinese beliefs, but I believe the Chinese also believe and teach about the Great Flood, and also there are some South American tribes and people there that that has been passed down through them. It's actually all over the world. People have this belief of a Great Flood. And if there's anybody out there that wants to correct me, please do so, because I'm only human.
Right, because I'm only human. I don't own the rights to that song.
Yeah.
And Epstein did not commit suicide. There's even in the Native American cultures, there's a Great Flood. In the Cree, it was... And it's kind of a funny story, the way it's told. And I think that anything dark and dank that happens in our cultural histories, we kind of try to put that humorous to it to tone it down a bit for our children. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you have a different opinion, please let us know. But so in the Cree flooding story, it was Waysakichuk, who is our trickster, who was trying to capture the Great Beaver. And so he built this huge dam. And he waited all day and waited all day and waited all day. And finally the beaver came. And our trickster tried to get him, and he got bit by this giant beaver. And he passed out, and the giant beaver completely destroyed this dam, and it flooded the world. So that's our flooding story. And then, of course, you know, the great beaver did his thing, and the waters receded, and... Ray Sukachuk didn't get what he wanted. But so they're very, very similar, but their storylines are off, right? Because they're not the same because of cultural integration and influence. It's so crazy how it's all very, very similar. Everybody has one. I think I
Everybody
hear
has
Junior.
A great flood. Yeah, I'm trying to find his pacifier. He's being a little rotten. He had a shot, though.
He just wants to be on the
today.
Show.
You know, he
needed
like a spot for him.
I know.
Normally he's asleep at this time or taking a nap or a dad's or something, but he got a shot.
Very interesting.
Cranky.
That's okay. We love children, especially our children, and that's okay.
Are we admitting this on radio?
He's cooing and stuff now and chuckling because I gave him his pacifier to soothe him.
Yeah,
like, I got
get it, little man.
Yeah. Well, we've got two new teeth.
I'm throwing some coffee in the microwave. It's really, it's very interesting how they all have a correlation. They all have this understanding of spirit, and they all have a what's the word I'm looking for? They all have a reasoning behind like paranormal things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's bad spirits, and this is what we have to do to get rid of them. Or this is good spirits, and we have to appease them by feeding them and giving them these things. And so,
right.
And we're talking about culture that is predating. These are people who walked with mammoths.
Right.
I mean, this is way before our first societies. This is way before the first grouping of nomadic people. So we're talking like this is, if these civilizations, because now we just see, we just see the almost like the skeletons, the ghosts of their past with their temples and their foundations that have crumbled away. If we didn't eradicate these people over time, because the Spaniards came in and brought smallpox and cholera and all kinds of stuff, and it's from South America up to Mexico, they're wiping out tribes.
Yeah. Right. Forcing them
Could you imagine the civilization that would have developed from those places?
But they're really starting to pick up, they say that they're really starting to get bigger and bigger. So
well,
I was curious
gone,
how many different
Henny. I don't know what you mean by that.
The tribes.
No, continue.
They're starting to grow because of
where they were. Right, and that's fantastic.
Wow.
But I was talking about from where they were started. We're talking thousands of years, or hundreds and thousands of years ago, when they were first creating these civilizations. Honey, we're talking metropolises. These were huge metropolises. Machu Picchu. It was a huge metropolis. Now it's shadows. But could you imagine if those cultures would have been allowed to progress, if they would have been allowed to evolve, where would they have been? I mean, maybe they would have been the ones that have flying cars and trips to the moon. Take a vacation to the rings of Saturn before they disappear.
Hey, Aaron.
So, yeah.
Can you say that word again, Machu what?
Machu Picchu?
God bless you. Sorry.
Oh, you're so bad. Oh, that's funny.
I really am trying to be good, but everything that you have been talking about, that we've been talking about, I just find immensely interesting.
If you don't know what Machu Picchu is, it's a huge metropolis that used to thrive. I mean, it had a population of like some 2 million people, and it's located in Peru. And it's high. Its elevation is, you have to literally climb a mountain, and this mountain is not an easy climb. You really have to be a healthy person, but it's an Incan citadel, and it's in the Andes Mountains in Peru, and it's above the Arubamba, I believe, river valley, and it's beautiful. It's an amazing thing. It's like I said, it's really high up. It's like, I think it's almost 8,000 feet above sea level, if I remember correctly, but it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful metropolis. And all that's left is the remnants. Like I said, there are foundations, there's walls, there are some arts, and then there's the great temple. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, and it's an Incan thing. Machu Picchu. Bless you.
Well, I knew that you would appreciate that. I knew you'd get it.
And Epstein didn't kill himself. I've been seeing that everywhere. I love information. So people send me like informative stuff all the time, and I like read it, and I'm like, that's really cool. And at the bottom it says, and Epstein didn't commit suicide. So. It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. He knew too much.
Okay,
Lisa, what were you saying about Thunderbirds?
About Thunderbirds. I was asking about how many types are there? Do we know, like, how many different types? Because, I mean, you got all these different tribes that have split off, and I'm assuming they each kind of have their own. Are we talking, like, 4 different major types, 100 different types? Any idea?
Well, now, I see here in the Shawnee, they also believe in the Thunderbird, a giant mythological bird common to northern and western tribes. And they believe it's called the Wapiti. They believe that thunder is caused by the beating of the immense wing. So it goes right along with what you were saying, Aaron.
Yeah.
Is it something where maybe every tribe doesn't have a Thunderbird then, if they're saying most?
I'm not sure. I can tell you there's like at least 15 variances of the Thunderbird, and Ford can give you more information on that, because isn't it a Ford? No, no one got that? That's okay.
No.
You can't win them
I
all.
I got it.
Oh, I got an acting out kid right now.
I'm not really sure. I mean, if we look at the variances of Native culture, we're going to find in each tribe some kind of similarity. And mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about Saskatchewan Cree that believes in this bad spirit or this dark spirit called the Wichita. And the Eastern Native Americans call it a Wendigo. And it's so similar in the way they're spelled and the way they sound. So I would not be surprised if all tribes don't have a variant of the Thunderbird. It's just under a different name.
Yeah. Well,
there are even Asian cultures that believe in a variant of the Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you guys, like the Saskatchewan Cree, does your tribe believe in little people, which would be, it says here that the Shawnee believe that they're not important mythological characters, but they often appear in folklore superstition.
Yeah, and we call those the Meme-Gwesu. And the Meme-Gwesu it literally means little people or little person. But those are considered river spirits or water sprites. They're tricksters.
Yes.
They like to play jokes. They like cut fishing lines, nets, things like that. And those they're not evil. They're not good. They're tricksters. But yeah, they're called the Meme-Gwesu. And But I want you to understand that the Cree, when I say Cree, I'm generalizing, because the Innis and the Ojibwe and the Ojinaya, I think is what it is, they're very similar. First Nation is huge, and the Cree are just the largest populace of the First Nation, and the First Nation are what Canadians call their Native Canadians. That's what their Native Americans are called, this First Nation. And the Cree make up like 350,000 of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you have different aspects of the Cree. You have Swamp Cree, you have Plains Cree, you have Lake Cree. I mean, you have all of these variances of understanding and language. And though they all carry the same standard of belief in folklore, there are still slight differences based on storytelling, based on tribal culture, things like that.
Right, right. Well, and what I was just reading here, it says that the little people are small nature spirits who live in the trees of the rocks in the wilderness. They're pranksters, just like you were talking about. However, there's also stories of little people helping lost children or returning lost items to where they belong to people.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Shawnee being where, you know, they were, and I'm sure that they migrated from places, you know, but they're in Middle Tennessee, and then the Cree, of course, you were Saskatchewan Cree. How vast of an area was the Cree boundaries or lands?
Everywhere. Everywhere. The Cree, if you've ever heard of the term rendezvous.
Yes.
I know you've heard of that, Star. Lisa, I'm
uh-huh.
pretty sure you have. But rendezvous is an event. A lot of Native cultures do powwow, and powwow is a gathering. It's a dance. It's a big festival kind of thing. Now it's a traditional festival, but when it was time, these powwows were actually used for specific things in their tribes to bring the rain, for good crops, for healthy births, marriage rites, that kind of thing. The Cree, we had the same thing, but instead we had rendezvous. And rendezvous is a French word because we have a lot of French influence, because when the French came in through Canada, because it's French owned at the time, they just like the Spaniards and the English and the Dutch and the Russians and the Italians, they tried to integrate Native Americans into their own culture. And so rendezvous was a way for the Cree people, or I should say the Native people, because it wasn't just Cree, but the Native people, because the Anjiwa and the Innis, they were part of that as well. It was a way for them to trade goods. So the French would give them things like tobacco and gunpowder and beer and wines, and they would give furs and other various items like beads and leathers and so forth and so on. And so that's what kind of integrated us. So we were vast. There was no border lines. There was no, this is French territory, this is Cree territory. It was just land. It was all a land. If you were dictated under a classification like River Cree or Lake Cree or Marsh Cree or Mountain Cree or whatever, you were dictated under that because that's where your tribe dwelt. And then you would move into whatever regional area for a season, but that's where it was. The Plains Cree, very much like all Plains Indians, have the buffalo in their folklore because that was their main protein. That was their main source of food, right? So that's how those cultural changes begin. I think it's the... And I could be wrong, because sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes it happens. It's weird.
It's rare, but it happens.
Yeah, it happens. But I believe it was the Cherokee who warred with the Cree, and they called the Cree Blood Faces, which is weird because the Cree were very peaceful people. They did war, but it wasn't often, and... I mean, they took care of the tribes and they adopted people and had no problems mending the land, if you will. But the Cherokee, I think really it was the Cherokee, Northern America, called them Blood Faces. And it's probably because of the tint of their skin. And then we start getting that French influence, so we start being born with blue eyes. And. But we have different cultural understandings, and like some tribal beliefs, very much like ours, it's when you die, if you die so many times, when you come back, you bring something with you each time, like something comes back with you, like whether it's the ability to see things or if it's a knowledge, you come back. If you transpose the line between our world and the sky world and the river world, you come back with something, with new knowledge, and there's a respect there, if you will. So, and I think each tribe has that, very much like the homosexuality. I don't care what all of the listeners' opinions are. It's just a cultural thing we're talking about now. But there are tribes that believe that homosexuals are twin souls. They are carrying two souls in one body, and they are, like, elevated. They're higher than us all because they have more than one understanding of the world. So, yeah, it's very interesting stuff.
Uh-huh. That is. You mentioned powwow. I was just going to mention, too, just for the listeners that are, like, in this area, we get one massive one every year, and it's actually this coming weekend, perfect weekend. It's November 2nd and 3rd, and they have over 100 dancers, like 60 vendors. It's about 5,000 people that turn out for this thing. And they represent all those tribes. They have Cherokee. They have Kiowa, Apache,
and Pueblo, especially because you're in Texas. You have a lot of that Hopi Pueblo influence.
That's the head
staff. Finding that center place.
Because of it being local here. But they come from many states. They'll come from, like, Nevada, obviously Oklahoma, everywhere, just multiple states. And they'll set up vending tables, and they'll do the authentic food and stuff. And so it's really nice. So if anybody wants to jump out to that thing this weekend, that'll be nice. I think it's like $15. Really cheap, you know. It's nice.
Yeah,
I like listening
to
them stomp. I mean, it's like this big, massive, like, arena kind of, you know, I guess you'd call it an arena. I mean, and so they're down in the middle, and they just do all their stomps. And then at the end, they let you join in. Like, you can come down and dance with them, and it's pretty neat.
I couldn't do that anymore. I'm all broken. Touch me with my little cane.
You'll walk.
Yeah. We call it the Crip Walk. It's my Crip Walk because I'm a cripple. I'm crippled.
Ages, just learning their traditions and cultures and stuff, just talking to them, you know, because there's so many different tribes that come down. People just represent
and
different
groups.
And if
you go, listen to different stories and try to find those similarities because they're there. It's just being told in a different way. If I told you where milk came from, I could tell you, well, you've got to get a cow, and you have to milk it. You have to pull on its teeth, and milk will come out. It'd be great. There's milk. But Lisa could tell you that you've got to get a goat, and you've got to pull on its teeth, and milk will come out. You see, it's a very similar story. They're both the same way of doing it, but just two separate entities in which it's coming from.
Yeah.
So, did you have anything else to add?
What about, have you come across anything as far as, do they believe in, like, because you know how we study now about shapeshifters, skinwalkers, did they believe in that back then?
Yes.
Okay.
So, the tricksters, those are the ones who can change. And they can change form. They can change into animals. They can change into people. They can change into trees.
You were talking about just being positive only or not negative. But I've heard of skinwalkers and stuff being negative. So I didn't know if you were referring to something different or the same. Or
are you talking about for the trickster?
Well, skinwalkers and shapeshifters.
Being neither positive nor negative?
I've heard of them called and tricksters as well, but I don't know. I mean,
right.
I've heard both.
In a lot of cultural tribes, the trickster is not bad, nor is it good. The trickster, and it's just a general idealization for that, we'll call it character role, okay, for the culture. The trickster is a character role. Very much like the bad spirit is a character role, the great spirit is a character role. And I'm not saying that as in this isn't real, this isn't a possibility. I'm saying that is that in the structure of their culture, they have these roles, these character roles that are filled. And that trickster is in there. And that trickster is just a general term. And it comes by many names, it comes by many forms, but it is neither good nor bad. That doesn't mean it doesn't do good. It doesn't mean it doesn't do bad. It just doesn't do one or the other. It is both. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Actually, I was just reading.
That was so convincing. Yeah.
It does. So, I'm ADD, you know that. No, I was just reading, like, it at the same time, like, it right here was seeing how the Cherokees were the first ones to formalize a written language. And that the ledgers were in code to prevent other people from trying to misuse or exploit their medicinal ways. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. But a lot of them actually didn't have a written language. I mean, we're talking about the development of a people. You don't actually start seeing a written document of the cultural aspect of these people until the 1900s, when these, well, we'll call them early anthropologists, are going out and speaking with these elders and getting the stories and writing these stories down. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't tribes that didn't have some form of written calligraphy or pictography or something, but you don't see volumes of books written on the cultural aspect. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, it was up until 1978. That's probably when, like you said, it started really coming out, because it said that everything was really kept secret until about 1978.
Oh, I bet. Everybody's saying, oh, they can't write. They're like, we can't. We don't know.
Yep.
Well, we've got about 15 minutes. I want to add this in. Star will be on right after this show. Star, whose show are you going to be on?
I'm going to be on Rogue Talk Radio with Sheila Gay.
That's right. Miss Sheila Gay. And Sheila Gay has been on our show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wonderful.
I really enjoy her. 7 to 9 o'clock tonight for Central Standard Time. So you bump that an hour ahead for Eastern, an hour behind for Mountain. I can't believe you're going to talk 2 hours with her. I've told her I can't do it. Now, Aaron, you might be able to.
What is your topic on? I asked
her the same thing, and she said just be ready for everything, anything and everything.
Anything else, girl? I'd talk for days.
I know you would.
I would just go on and on and on. Sheila would probably have to go, okay, Aaron, thank you so much, but we got to close.
That is why we love you so much, Aaron.
She was just raving about Steve Diashavi. She had done him, I guess, last week. So I messaged him and I said, I hear that, you know, you're really good with interviews, and Sheila's raving. So when are you going to come on ours? And he said, anytime. So.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We'll have
from
to
Dead
jump
Fox,
him in.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We'll have to jump him in. We'll have to get a great topic, like unicorns. Why couldn't they be real if giraffes are real?
I don't think a former police detective or homicide detective.
Yeah, he was
talk
homicide.
About unicorns.
Yeah, he was homicide. Isn't he on that show? What is it called?
Dead Files.
Dead Files with Amy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't know. He could. I could be like Steve. Unicorns. What's your opinion?
Now, if you give him a cigar with a unicorn on it. He might do a cigar with a unicorn, just saying.
You know, I may have to, just to get the unicorn in.
He likes
If we get him on the show,
cigars.
I'm just going to warn you, if we put him in our show, I'm going to throw that in at some point. I don't care what the topic is.
Somehow bring up the word unicorn.
I know. I don't care what the topic is. We could be talking about murderous serial killers, and are they really haunting the prisons they've been incarcerated in, and then at some point I'm gonna be like, and what about the unicorns?
He'll
probably go, what?
I brought up a unicorn during my discussion with him. That's funny. Well, guys, Next week we have movie reviews. I don't have the link up yet, but I'll get that posted in the next week. And then the time may be changing. I know we've kind of repeated it. We'll get that posted.
Yes,
that
it is
changes.
Daylight savings time next week. Next weekend.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh,
yes.
Sure.
It's not.
Because of that. I just meant because of my job change. But that is true.
Oh.
That is absolutely true. There is daylight change. A daylight savings time, yeah. So don't forget about that this weekend also. So there's the powwow, there's the time change. And then, yeah, and then we got the movie reviews, which I've watched a couple already, and I'm like, I'm wanting to watch another two this, maybe tonight. I'm kind of getting into I know you're not Aaron big into the whole movie review thing. You're like, yeah, whatever.
I've been watching it. I've been getting ready. It's only fair.
Now, it's on horror movies, right?
Yeah, so I've watched a couple.
Whatever. Like, you can be freaking whatever, you know, somewhere along those lines, or, you know, obviously Annabelle or Winchester or any, you know, whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you can
I've
go back
a bunch
really
of those,
as
so
as you want.
We will chat them up and now just so that everybody knows, more than likely there's going to be spoilers. So if you have not seen a particular movie, mute us during that time of while we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
But
oh,
it's all pretty much, most of it's probably going to be like 2018, 19, for me anyways. I don't know how far back you guys are going. So, you know, it's not like...
Girl, I went classic. I went the thing with two heads. Right?
I love it.
Anyway,
I love
and
it.
The Swamp
it's like,
Thing and...
in a theater, you know, they'll probably go red box it. So it's not like too bad if, you know, spoiled the review a little bit.
Ain't
oh,
no
yeah.
shame in the game.
Oh, and the giant, the carrot. What's his name? Arness. James Arness was the carrot that killed people in that old black and white movie.
And
I can't think of
the
name.
You know, I've been watching like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh,
and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, the revenge ketchup.
I love it.
So. Yeah,
so
I love with some old stuff. Old John
if you
Hickok.
Have a lot of fun next week. Join us on the show.
Yes.
Or don't.
Yes,
go watch
that,
them yourself and then leave us comments.
With that, I'm going to go and prepare for next week's show.
All right, Lisa, thank you. We've still got about 10 minutes on this show, and I think we've come to the end of our topic. So if you want to call in and tell us what your favorite scary movie is. Give us a suggestion online. Hit us up. I'll look into it. I don't mind watching movies.
Are you staying on for another 10?
Oh yeah.
Why
we're
not? We still got 10 minutes.
The time runs out.
Girl, just because
you
ain't gonna be in, don't mean we can't move on.
Can't move on. Oh no!
I've been cooking
to.
This whole time.
I have to because I'm the host. Because I'm locked in, I have to.
Oh, that's right.
Up.
You have to, don't you? Oh, we love torturing
that's
you.
That's so wrong.
You know what's really wrong?
It just cuts off. If you end before 30, it just ends it. It doesn't leave like
I
there.
I have a great question. And please put your answers. They can post on our Facebook and whatnot, right, ladies?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it depends on what the question is.
Like on Facebook. Let us know that you've been there.
It's a great debate. I want your answers, and I will bring them up at next week's show because we're doing horror movies. I want opinions on this horror, on this scary, horrifying thing. Is it okay to put pineapple on pizza?
That's not a movie. That's
it doesn't matter. It's scary and horrible.
That is true. I will.
All right. We'll talk about it next week. I have my opinion.
So I'll bring it up next week at the beginning or at the end of the show. I will talk about who won the poll on pineapple on pizza?
It's going to be two against
I'll
one.
I'll start off by saying it came from the deep.
With a unicorn.
With a unicorn.
Well, let me add a little bit more horror to the situation with the pizza. See, I don't like, and nothing against Canadians, nothing against them, but I do not like Canadian bacon. I like real bacon. But
why
do
they call it bacon? It's strips of ham.
I know. Exactly. It's. But anyway, I like to put pepperoni and pineapple on a pizza with extra cheese. So
yeah,
there you
pretty
go.
Pretty scary.
Pineapple on pepperoni with extra cheese?
It's really good. Yes.
I like it with chicken.
Well, pineapple chicken is good.
Yeah, with some with a nice little onion and some bell peppers. Oh girl, let's get it. Now I'm starving.
I am hungry.
I don't know, now it's time for dinner.
I want to thank you guys for listening to our show tonight. Please tune in next week when we talk about horror movies and we review them. Please join us again.
And pizza.
I'm Aaron Jones.
I'm Star
Lisa Taft and Star Lyles. And we want to also thank Star Jones for being on our show tonight.
Yes, thank you, Star Jones. And whoever
I feel
Taffy
terrible.
Is.
I'm sorry. And, whoever, and thank you,
Taffy.
Lisa Taffy.
Again, I'm named after the Saltwater Taffy, famous.
She's sweet.
Famous
and
by all ways.
Because I was named after nobody. All right.
Oh, Aaron,
thank you guys. Have
you're
a great
the bacon
night.
Thief.
I am the bacon thief, and one day I'll tell you about that.
Yes, tell us about it sometime.
All righty, have a good night.